came prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Want some juice or anything?
No, I'm fine. Thank you. Okay, this is an interview with Jackie Robinson in Durham, North Carolina. It is February 11th, 2005, and we're in his home. The interviewer is Geralyn Patterson, and this is part of the Spencer Grants Project on School Desegregation in the South and will be used as part of the Southern Oral History Program at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. The tape number is JR21105. Okay, Mr. Robinson, can you tell me when you attended Hillside High School?
From 1962 to 1965.
Okay, tell me what you remember most about going to school there.
The size of the school and the number of students participating in that school. The laughter and the fun that we had and the different choices we had in the school as far as professions. You would know that we had bricklayers, brick mason school of DE. Mm-hmm. We had carpentry, tailoring.
What's DE?
The distributive education.
Oh, okay.
For distributive education.
Okay.
And you could choose different types of trades and professions. Okay. And today, some of our classmates are in those professions that they started at Hillside.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you take any of those classes?
No. I wanted to be in a accountant or a professional baseball player based on my name, you know, Jack Robinson.
Oh, of course.
Or in an accountant because I used to watch TV and accountants always had on suits.
Okay. So that'd be a cool thing to do.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell me about some of the best memories you have of the school.
Some of the best memories I had was competition. How we always had great sports and athletics and academics, debating society. It really started even before Hillside because our class was one of the first classes that started this course called TMAC at Whitted.
TMAC.
Where okay. It's a self-taught course. You move at your own speed in mathematics class.
Oh, okay.
And those kids that were considered prominent in math, they put them in this class and we started this competitive style of working at our own pace to finish work, and then we would take our tests once we finished a certain level of the course.
Okay.
And that was like an experiment. It was one of the first ones to happen, and so we carried that over into Hillside.
Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that came from Whitted?
It started at Whitted. Okay. So the year is actually when it started. We were at Whitted High School, and we carried that over to Hillside as well.
Can you tell me about some of the teachers that you had?
I had a lot of teachers that were very prominent in my career, but the one that stands out most was not a teacher. It was actually the vice principal and the dean of boys, and that was Frank Howard Austin, known as Prop. And he would come to our class and in a class that we might be in, and he could take the chalk and teach that class. He was that knowledgeable about all the courses that we
were involved in.
Any class that I've been in,
okay.
And anybody else that said he came to the class, he could find out where you were and speak on that and ask you questions that could be embarrassing if you didn't know me. You should.
I bet.
Yeah. I also enjoyed Miss Lucas, Miss Jenny Lucas, because we were learning foreign languages, and it was just fascinating to see some people that could speak Spanish fluently and teach it. And that was a sort of the things that got us straight or got us started and wanted to be able to achieve. At the same time, when we came, it was a new principal that came at the same time, John Lucas.
Okay.
So he was new to the school just like we were.
Okay.
So we all sort of came over together, and that was a new sort of a new beginning when we sort of grew together. Mr. J. O. Smith, the top math, was another. I consider another excellent role model for me. And in the coaching ranks, and although I consider him a teacher as well, Mr. Willie Bradshaw.
Okay.
He was one of my favorite people because I consider him as fair as they come. Mm. He's very equitable in how he treated people and what he did. Mm. And up till this point, I respect him as highly as I do any man like my father.
Wow. Mm. He had that big of an impact on you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Do you feel like that those teachers and others at Hillside tried to prepare you in a special way?
Oh, yeah. It was a natural instinct for them. It wasn't something that they consciously did. It was just the way that they were. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them were Hillside graduates as well. And they wanted us to represent the school like they felt it should be represented as one of the best schools in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Not best black schools, but best schools mm-hmm. in North Carolina. So I think that they, just in their natural course of activity, mm-hmm. Made us something special coming out of that. We knew it.
I've heard a couple people say that it was one of the best schools in North Carolina. Not black school, but mm-hmm. best schools. Why do you think that is, since, I mean, everybody says that black schools got the hand-me-downs, mm-hmm. the secondhand textbooks. How do you think that Hillside was able to kind of rise above all of
that? Yeah, that's true that we did get secondhand textbooks. And again, we didn't start at Hillside. All of us came from some elementary school mm-hmm. in the 50s, like Lyon Park, where I came from. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of things that were done that would not be conducive to making you feel that you were somebody special. Mm-hmm. But when you hit that school, by the time you got to Hillside, mm-hmm. you had some kind of foundation. But when you hit that school, nothing could be done except substantiate that. Because, see, you saw accomplishments. For example, the carpentry and the bricklayers were building a house right behind Hillside. The first three houses on Lawson Street are built by Hillside students. And taught by the Hillside teachers that were teaching bricklaying and all of that.
Okay.
But the show you it was special. It's in the pudding. You look around now and see where the students are mm-hmm. and what they've accomplished. And that's what happened with the generation we saw before. Mm-hmm. We knew what Willie Bradshaw did, what Jeannie Lucas did, and mm-hmm. what Frank Howard Austin did. We could do because they let us know. Mm. We could and should do better. And should do better because we had more opportunities and more support and more facilities. And Jeannie Lucas is a good example going on the state senate. Mm. But there's so many at Hillside that are going on. If you started naming names, you would never, from all professions to their own businesses. Mm-hmm. Lawn businesses, own painting business is very successful. Big land businesses. We have quite a few in all kind of businesses.
Mm-hmm. In the Devils. Were you in any of the clubs or sport? Did you do sports or anything like that?
I had to play baseball.
Okay. Nobody has told me about the baseball team.
Yeah. Well, I know because when the pitchers were taken and when all things, baseball was during the summer, they got the track team in, but seldom did they get the baseball team in. Coach Bradshaw was coach of baseball.
Okay.
And I had to play baseball. But my dealings with him and baseball didn't start at Hillside. When I was a midget and the uniforms were dragging the ground, Coach Willie Bradshaw coached Walltown team.
Oh.
My dad was one of the coaches on the West End.
Okay.
So we would meet them and compete at an early age.
Okay.
And from that experience, I knew him just growing up. And that was the way it was with most of the teachers. They were in the neighborhood. They grew up in the neighborhood just like we did, mm-hmm. or in a neighborhood close to mm-hmm. us. That's not necessarily the way it is now because people live in far out in the spot. Mm-hmm. But they were actual neighbors or somebody close to us.
Mm-hmm.
My fifth grade teacher, Miss Otis at Lyon Park, mm-hmm. lived right up the street from us on Carroll Street. And I remember all of those things as we grew up.
So they were really a part of your community?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so why did you have, you said you had to play baseball?
My name's Jack Rawson.
It was destiny.
Yeah, well, I was born in 1947.
Okay.
I was born April the 15th.
Okay.
That's the day and the year he came in the majors.
Oh, okay.
And I remember in the first grade, Mr. Frank Burnett, who was our principal.
Uh-huh.
It was a big event. That was the first black to play in the major league. Mm-hmm. And it was a big event when he came to bat. Over the intercom, Mr. Burnett put the World Series. And when Jackie Robinson would come to the bat, mm-hmm. I was in the first grade, mm-hmm. I would be sitting there with my chest out. If he hit the ball, I felt like I did. He struck out. But my name was Jackie Robinson.
Okay.
I had no choice. Right. I had to be able to play somehow.
Tell me more about what it was like to live and grow up in Durham.
Durham in the 50s there was no question about the separation, black and white fountains, black and white facilities, bathroom facilities.
So you remember all that?
Oh, no question. Okay. Yeah, and that's something that you'll never forget. As a matter of fact, I remember accidentally drinking at the fountain, it's called a white fountain, and being chastised more by blacks, or their fear for what would happen to me as opposed to anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But growing up in Durham then was staying close to your neighborhood, mm-hmm. not going far. We didn't have cars to drive around and to go to different areas and different locations.
Mm-hmm.
Only time we got to travel, like in a group, was really like safety patrol, pride patrol,
mm-hmm.
or sports.
Okay.
And then if we were going across town to participate in organized sport,
mm-hmm.
we would walk as a group.
And across town?
We walked across town.
Okay.
We actually walked the bus going and with it.
Okay.
And walked as much as we caught the bus going the hillside. That was a sort of commonplace.
Okay.
And it wasn't that long a trip because it was five or six of us walking
and
talking and all of that. But from if you can imagine Lakewood Shopping Center
mm-hmm.
and Hillside,
mm-hmm.
That's the West End. That's
uh-huh.
where we would walk from.
Okay.
Either because we didn't have the money or we had the money and missed the bus.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's a long walk.
Well, it is now.
Yeah.
It wasn't then.
Okay. And so the bus was the public bus?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they had school buses, but not to the extent that they have them now.
Okay.
And most of the time when we caught buses, they were public buses. But even when we caught school buses going directly to the school,
mm-hmm.
you still had to have some kind of token and things to get on that.
So you grew up near Lakewood?
Yeah, I grew up on what's known as Rock Street, which is it's a big cemetery. I don't know if you've ever seen that
uh-huh.
cemetery.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the streets that run into that cemetery. I grew up on one of those streets.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about the different neighborhoods in Durham?
Because yeah.
I know there was Walltown and the Bottom. And
yeah.
Tell me about, help
yeah.
me with that.
Yeah. The Walltown is pretty much a society that a lot of people that worked at Duke. It was built around a lot of people that worked at Duke.
Okay.
And so they have an affiliation with Duke.
Okay.
Because if you notice, it's very close in proximity to Duke.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the employees, Duke was a large employee,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of the employees were actually built their homes based on Duke and Duke's contribution to them and their contribution to Duke.
Okay.
The West End was pretty much actually west of Walltown. And it was more, I guess the people from the West End, a lot of them worked at Duke too, a lot of people in all areas worked at
mm-hmm.
Duke, but a lot of people from the West End worked at, in Chapel Hill, at Memorial,
okay.
and things like that. West End had its bottom just like other places had their bottom. We had streets like Gadsden Street, or streets that you know that you weren't supposed to go to
mm-hmm.
if you were young.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had areas, we had lots of churches, especially up and down Moorhead Avenue,
mm-hmm.
and people that were prominent in those churches and active among our students. But a lot of people worked at the factory too, from Walltown.
Which
factory? I'm from Durham.
The tobacco
the West End.
Factor?
Tobacco factory.
The one that's right America, downtown?
American and Liggett Mall.
Oh.
American, in fact, was the one that's being renovated now right across from the ballpark.
Okay.
And Liggett Mall is the one that's actually still exists, but not to the extent. That's where they have the renovations and the shops down,
okay.
downtown.
Okay.
Near Durham High.
Okay.
But a lot of folks worked at the factory and lived on the West End.
Okay.
And they were also outstanding citizens. I remember one of the people, Mr. Willie Haskins, who worked at the factory, mm-hmm. never drove and cut hair. He was a barber too.
Mm-hmm.
He cut my first haircut was in his chair, and my son's first haircut
was in his
chair.
Oh, that's
and that's,
nice.
That's how the generations went. Okay. Mr. Willie Haskins is also the one that signed for me my last semester of college when I didn't have the money to pay
mm-hmm.
To go to school for the last semester.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to him. Mm-hmm. And he actually went down to the bank, and without any question, the people, as soon as he walked in, they said, "What you want, Willie?" And he told them, "I want you to give this boy some money to go to finish school." Mm-hmm. And they did it. And it was on his signature. And I made sure I paid that back.
Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. That's very nice. So what did your parents do?
My mother was a nurse, and my dad was a painter. And my dad's also a World War II vet.
Okay.
My mother worked at Duke.
Okay.
And then later she worked at private Duke.
Okay. Did you have you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had three brothers. The oldest was named Anthony. He's passed. Uh-huh. And I'm the second in the family.
Okay.
Third was named Christopher. He's passed. Okay. Then we had one 10 years younger than us. We call him Poochie. I won't give his real name.
Okay.
I don't give
and so did all of them go to Hillside too?
No, Poochie didn't.
Okay.
Poochie went to Durham High.
Okay.
Everyone else did go to Hillside.
Okay.
And I also have a half-sister. My daddy had a daughter,
mm-hmm,
prior to marriage,
mm-hmm,
and named Alameda went there and went to Hillside and was a nurse.
Okay. And you said your parents went to Hillside too?
No.
No.
My mother did.
Your mother went to Hillside.
My mother went to Hillside. My daddy didn't graduate from high school.
Okay. How was Poochie was okay with not going to Hillside?
Well, it by that time it was there was no longer segregation in the school.
Okay.
So from where we lived on the West End, Durham High was the natural school for him to go to. And at that time it was quite a few black students that were then going to Durham High.
Durham High.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so when you went to Hillside in 1962 to 1965, were there, because school desegregation had happened already.
Just
it was 1954.
Yeah, and there were just a few.
There were some white students there?
No white students. There were a few blacks that had gone to Durham High.
Oh,
we had no white students.
Were they supposed to come? Where were they?
Well, not to my knowledge.
Okay.
The key then, it was either voluntary, and what parents did was to break the color line. They sent their kids to that school, Durham High.
Okay.
The problem, of course, being that would be a difficult time for them, a different experience for them,
mm-hmm,
because this is also the era, although Greensboro is known to be the first to start to sit in,
mm-hmm,
Durham was right behind them,
mm-hmm,
and there was a lot of violence, and if not physical, then mental. So
okay.
Whoever went to those schools during that period of time,
mm-hmm,
that was a real sacrifice for them. Plus, they never had the camaraderie of people to care about them,
mm-hmm,
like them. They were actually going to school, and that must have been a lonely life for them.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I'm trying to think of one that you could talk to. I thought one of the McKissick kids went there, but I'm not sure.
Okay. And so, do you remember Hillside changing in any way as a result of school desegregation, or?
Not during my era.
Okay.
Because not only was 100% black,
okay,
but it was just a few black students that were somewhere else.
Okay.
But our competition and our support remained intact,
mm-hmm,
and it came, and like I said, it didn't start in 65.
Mm-hmm.
It actually started in 53.
Mm-hmm.
And once we emerged first from Pearson Town, Lion Park, W.G. Pearson, wherever we came from,
mm-hmm,
as elementary students, to junior high, which was with it,
mm-hmm,
all of us gravitated to with it.
Okay.
And from there, all of us went to Hillside.
Okay.
So we're not just high school classmates. We are friends for life,
mm-hmm,
and friends from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Where was with it, junior high?
With it is where the Operation Breakthrough is sitting now, physically.
Okay.
But now someone a little older than me can tell you, actually, that was Hillside's location at one time.
Okay.
Yeah, so Hillside actually didn't start where it is now.
Okay.
Or not.
Well,
not,
across from Central.
Yeah.
Okay.
They start on Concord.
Okay.
But someone older can tell you that they actually graduated from Hillside when Hillside was in that location.
Do you think that there is something special that Hillside did for black students that might not be doing, that schools might not be doing now?
Oh, yeah. Well, no question. And that's not a criticism, that's a fact. As far as the nurturing was concerned, understanding the students, that was something that was natural during that time.
Mm-hmm.
Certain things weren't tolerated,
mm-hmm,
from students. And the people that would not tolerate it, those instructors and teachers, had been through that. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like they were trying to figure out your background or what offends you or what doesn't offend you.
Mm-hmm.
What you receive from them is their home cooking and their knowledge of how to treat you. Mm-hmm. So to tell you to shut up and sit down, what you needed to do, mm-hmm. was not going to be an issue. That you were going to hear that.
Say, it was which you needed to do.
Yeah. I mean, if you're in a school, you should be disrupting it. Right. So that was going to be something that you definitely received and had. That's one thing. And that has a lot to do with just about anything else that you do in life. Because if you're receiving instruction, and I don't mean just from somebody telling you something, but mm-hmm. what they're showing you,
mm-hmm.
And what they've accomplished themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't pull the wool over their eyes like you could in your parents, because mm-hmm. whatever you're trying to tell them, they've been through already.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in that environment, you're going to either straighten up mm-hmm. or get body slammed.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the way it is. And I don't mean physically body slammed, but
right.
you're going to be embarrassed. And if you couldn't, because you couldn't snow them.
Right. Did everybody graduate?
If you're talking about the percentage,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure it was as high as anyone else. I don't remember many people falling out or dropping out of school.
Okay.
I remember some people might want to spend a couple years to enjoy the high school environment.
Right.
But very few people that, when I was around, mm-hmm. did not. And the ones that didn't, some of them I knew to go back and get the GED.
Okay.
And that to me means one thing, that whatever they heard and didn't listen to while they were in school finally hit them somewhere when they got out of school. Because nobody hires a person that was not willing to finish school.
Right.
Now, that don't mean you won't be successful, but that right. means you'll have a lot more challenges.
Okay. Can you help me? Because I've heard when I'm doing my research,
mm-hmm.
and you know, people are really starting to give me things now. But before, when I first got started, they made it seem like Hillside, NCCU, North Carolina Mutual, this black mecca, and that everybody in Durham that was black was living large.
No, that's not the case.
Okay, help me with that.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
But what it was is that everyone in Durham had in their midst one of the most prominent insurance companies,
okay,
in the world, the black insurance companies mm-hmm. in the world, and one of the most solid ones,
okay,
because I guess about how conservative they were in probably loans and mm-hmm. investments,
mm-hmm.
They were very. It was just there in your face,
okay.
And in '65 is when North Carolina Mutual was built, the new North Carolina Mutual,
okay.
New North Carolina Mutual you see standing now.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, okay, the big building.
It was the tallest building in Durham,
okay.
which was really a statement to make
mm-hmm.
when you are becoming the tallest building in Durham in your black owner.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't living large. There was a definite distinction of economics and students.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that was really and education that people learned later, the factory was a strong contributor to people buying things and owning things in Durham.
Okay.
But the factory wasn't considered a professional job or mm-hmm. a skilled job. However, the people in the factory were to me, mm-hmm. were the most prominent citizens, because in addition to doing their jobs and finishing their job, they did as well as anybody wearing a necktie mm-hmm. and a suit.
Okay.
They did as well economically.
Okay.
But they didn't have the
okay.
You know, they didn't have the respect. But they had what they also had was an understanding that they were willing to work hard and get whatever they could for their children.
Okay. So basically what I'm hearing you say is you could earn, if you were black in Durham, you could earn a good living. It was a place that you could earn a good living.
Whether you worked at the
factory or at the hospital.
Right.
Or at the insurance agency or at Central, or you were a teacher at Hillside.
Right.
Okay.
And Durham had more of an employer that was black than most places. Okay. For example, the bank and the fact, I mean, okay. not the fact, the bank and the insurance company.
More black owned. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it was a lot of private businesses or people that were builders or carpenters. Mm. It was just very successful as far as people going out on their own and building their own businesses. Electricians, it was just a prominent place as far as trade, and those are professional trades.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so everybody had, what I'm hearing is kind of the same thing you were saying about Hillside, is that there was something for everybody.
Right.
For all walks of life. Yeah. You can find something.
And you can call it opportunity.
Okay.
If nothing else.
Okay.
Yeah.
So opportunities for all.
Yeah.
So what did people think was a good education for black students when you were in school? What was considered so good about an education from Hillside?
Well, a lot of people from Hillside fed right into North Carolina Central, North Carolina okay. College at the time, or went off to college at A&T or other places. What was good about coming from Hillside is the understanding that you would receive a good education.
Mm-hmm.
High school, if you look at it, my parents' generation graduating from high school was considered very successful,
mm-hmm.
and that's what a lot of people strove for.
Mm-hmm.
But even people with eighth grade education did a lot to ensure that by the time their kids got to Hillside, mm-hmm. that their goals were no longer graduating from high school but going to college.
So there was an expectation then of going on to college.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, every generation, they would expect this to improve
mm-hmm.
or have more opportunities, and that's exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of those men, a lot of my parents, they were World War II vets.
Okay.
And fighting with the G.I. Bill and fighting and forcing to be treated the same as anyone else okay. that received the G.I. Bill, gave them opportunities to own houses, gave okay. them opportunities to go to school on the G.I. Bill, get some education. And that bill right into us and helped us as well.
Okay. All right, so the G.I. Bill was important.
Okay. No question. And World War II, of course, because there was a large contribution of blacks in World War II
mm-hmm.
that came home
mm-hmm.
seeking and looking for the same things. And, of course, it wasn't there as far as treatment, but mm-hmm. it was there as far as benefits. It could not deny
mm-hmm.
them the benefits that they were providing the other soldiers that came along.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, having the benefits offered and being able to get saved, they wanted to get a house anywhere they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
They were still redlining.
Mm-hmm.
But if they could get a house, might not be where they wanted, but
right.
they could get a house.
Okay. I'm glad you said that, because I hadn't put that together like
yeah.
that yet.
Yeah, and that's the way it was. And like I said, you couldn't do but so much if a person was a vet.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't deny but so much.
Mm. Okay, so I'm hearing, I'm kind of skipping around.
That's okay.
Okay, so I'm jumping around a little bit, and I'm mm-hmm. hearing you say that there were some things that you thought a school like Hillside did for black students.
Yeah.
That's now lost.
Right.
From school integration, you said kind of the nurturing of teachers.
The nurturing of teachers to the students.
Okay.
The opportunity, and like I said, it just didn't start at Hillside,
okay.
but the opportunity to be with certain people, to know them, and you'll see this in some things I wrote,
okay.
is to know, when you know a person as a child, you're a child, and you know
mm-hmm.
a person as a child,
mm-hmm.
and you grow up together,
mm-hmm.
there's a understanding mm-hmm. and a camaraderie that you can't get anywhere else. You don't have to try to learn a person
because
mm-hmm. you knew them in the most innocent stages
mm-hmm.
and you meshed from that period of time.
Mm-hmm.
When you meet somebody as an adult now, you're figuring whether you're compatible or not, whether you have the same interests or not,
mm-hmm.
whether you can sit down and be totally bored, or you totally bore them
mm-hmm.
talking about things that don't fit their background right. and they're not interested.
Right.
Hillside gave that. Oh, yeah, no question. We all had this. We were all in the same boat.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's anything that schools gained from being integrated?
I'm sure there have been some benefits, but not in the in a sense, as people view when they first saw the immigration. Mm-hmm. Immigration should promote equity.
Mm-hmm.
It promotes that to the extent that you get to sit with someone else, but it doesn't promote that to the sense that you get the same thing they get.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have the opportunity. But there's a little saying, a little key that I would say. If a teacher, when you're young, and I'm a favorite of the teacher, you're not,
mm-hmm.
and I make a mistake, and the teacher say to me, Jackie, that's a mistake, and you need to work on it this way, and if you do, you'll get better.
Mm-hmm.
And when you make, Miss Pastor make that same mistake, that's stupid. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't have done it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, both the same mistake, but the way you receive supposedly a lesson mm-hmm. to improve it, it's not the way I received it.
Mm-hmm.
My esteem is up, mm-hmm. and I'm going on to try to improve. Mm-hmm. You're hurt.
Right.
And that's sort of like a straight up and down example, but that's the way it could be if mm-hmm. when you're in an environment that people just don't have the same feeling towards you.
Mm-hmm. So, what do you think schools can do better now? This is kind of a general question. What do you think schools can do better now to help black students?
This is a very difficult time in trying to figure that out, because the students have had the benefit or the opportunity to receive a lot of people trying to study why they are the way they are now, and instead of what can you do to make sure that they behave in the way that they should. In other words, if a student now does something, they talk about the background or the environment,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to, regardless of what the background and the environment, once we get you in this situation, we're going to work on getting you to a point of being self-sufficient, self-respecting, and all those things, instead of justifying what you're doing based on what you've experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of happened with my son when he left Hillside and was going to Fayetteville State.
Mm-hmm.
And I never forget that the people said, just send him down here,
mm-hmm.
and we'll take care of him.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that assurance, when he went to Fayetteville State, we knew that he was still going home, mm-hmm. or be somewhere close, like home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Fayetteville State turned out to be for him.
Mm-hmm.
And everything just blossomed for him, and he just got better as it went on.
Good. That's fabulous.
Mm-hmm. But that's what happens to when people know you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they don't have to know you personally,
mm-hmm.
but they know you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't correct a problem or a situation unless you understand it or have some feel for it.
Okay. What do you think is important for people? What do you think is important for us now to remember or learn about the legacy of Hillside?
That whatever organization is measured by, it has to be something that's not simple and quick. One of the difficult things for a teacher to do is to know whether they're successful with a student. A teacher can say 100 things to you and you act like you're not listening.
Mm-hmm.
And every one of them could be going into your mind and being a sword.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even know how much they contributed to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because years later, you took all of that and you became successful or very confident,
mm-hmm.
based on those things that you received in the past.
Mm-hmm.
The legacy of Hillside is the result of the students that exist.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody achieved anything they are by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Hayes said, if you see a turtle sitting on a pole, you know he didn't get there by himself. Somebody had to have it.
Right.
Yeah. So, it's not that you can stamp, they went to Hillside, so therefore they are successful or very competent people.
Mm-hmm.
But it speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people I know that went to Hillside,
mm-hmm.
are very successful in their endeavor, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that had to have something to do with the school.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the home too, absolutely the home. But all those things come in.
Mm-hmm.
But you couldn't have gone to Hillside and not receive the educational part and the supportive environment,
mm-hmm.
and not give it credit.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might not realize it,
because
they might remember an incident or how they were treated at a certain date.
Mm-hmm.
But they benefited from those years and years at Hillside, being very successful and being confident and learning to have confidence enough to step up in this house. Mm-hmm.
So why do you love the school so much? Because you're still so active now. You're president of your class, and they joke about you being president until the end of time.
Yeah.
And it's apparent that you love the school. Tell me why
you love the school. Yeah, our president was Ricardo LeBrand.
Okay.
Very bright, outgoing, effervescent person. That died much too young while in college.
Okay.
But what we had sort of goes back to the day we stood in line to graduate commencement, and I remember one of the students bursting in tears. Nobody was saying anything, but just bursting in tears.
Mm-hmm.
And we were wondering, what was she crying about? Because we were trying to go out in the world and have a good time,
mm-hmm.
and get out of this school and have to get some money and drive cars and all that. But if we knew what she knew then, we probably all would have stood and cried, because those were the best years of our life. Mm-hmm. Where the responsibility that we had was to learn.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what the responsibility was.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, it set the foundation for what we are now.
Mm-hmm.
Had we not, we didn't understand it, but had we not benefited from that time, I couldn't sit down and think of my classmates when they were like 6 years old, like I was 6 years old,
mm-hmm.
telling the first bad joke I heard, the first horror story that I had heard, or teachers like Miss Bennett, my third grade teacher, making me want to stay in school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're getting out at 2:15, I want to stay in at 3:15, because I consider her a pretty lady that wanted to just love all of us and talk to us, and when you said something, it was important to say. Those are memories that are not false.
Mm-hmm.
They're real.
Mm-hmm.
And when I sit and I laugh and I can look in the 65 year book and see these skinny classmates, I still see them now, but much wiser,
mm-hmm.
and a little less skinny. I still see them now, and they're still the same.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And the only ones that would be very uncomfortable with that,
mm-hmm.
are people that was important to them to be something special,
mm-hmm.
outside of being a Hillside Hornet, which mm-hmm. was special.
Mm-hmm.
If they needed some kind of assurance, they weren't going to get it when they stepped out of those doors.
Mm-hmm.
And so they weren't prepared for things that happened later,
mm-hmm.
where your mom is some senator, so
mm-hmm.
we're going to treat you special.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen in Hillside.
Mm-hmm.
Not among us. It mm-hmm. might have happened among some people.
Right.
Among us, it was your Hillside classmate.
Mm-hmm.
And we just happened to be with you and have a good time. And that's what we have now.
All right. Well, is there anything else you want to tell me that I should know about Hillside? If somebody says, Geraldine, I know you've been talking to people who went to Hillside and trying to find out about Hillside pride and
mm-hmm.
the thrill on the hill,
mm-hmm.
and why people's blood runs blue and white.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What else should I tell them?
Well, you're going to tell them that Hillside was real.
Okay.
I mean, absolutely real.
Mm-hmm.
And it's real with people that look like you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a realness that sort of brings together the background you have,
mm-hmm.
the struggling you have,
mm-hmm.
the worrying about your life being cut off, the
mm-hmm.
worrying about the not having enough coal
mm-hmm.
to keep places
mm-hmm.
warm, and neighbors coming and getting you coal or helping you out for that week or that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
Those type of things, those were Hillside people.
Mm-hmm.
Those were people that came from those elementary schools and went to Hillside. And once we got there, we all had the same camaraderie that we brought from childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're going to tell them is it's real.
Mm-hmm.
It's as real as it gets. And you don't go this many years
mm-hmm.
on something that's not real.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it. It will tie soon. It will tie soon. I'm going to hang around you because you are one of the favorite people in the school.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that gets old quick.
Mm-hmm.
It's real.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna stop your tape.